Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Good to be with you today. Good to be back at Hiles Anderson College. I came here from 2002 to 2006. And, still sometimes I still have dreams of being back in college. I don't know why, but sometimes I have dreams that I'm getting a job at a trucking company in Chicago. And the nightmare is when I have a dream that I'm moving back into the dorms. And then sometime in the middle of the dream, I think, wait, I'm married. Why am I moving back in the dorms? Sometimes I dream that I'm on the front row. I'm supposed to preach, and I don't have a sermon. Some of you guys are like that on night bus. It's good to be with you, and I'm very thankful that my parents are here today. You know, the Bible, David said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And the older I get, the more I realize how blessed I am by the parents that God has given to me. And thank you, Dad and Mom, for your faithfulness. You're my heroes. Praise the Lord. My wife is here today, and God gave me a good wife. Tomorrow would be exactly 23 years. I'm sorry, not 23 years, 18 years, October 23rd, that we left for Ghana. And it's not been an easy mission, and especially for my wife. She has had to endure a lot of hardness. And aside from my relationship with the Lord, she's the best treasure that God has given me. And I'm so thankful for her. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Some of you men, while you're here, need to find a good thing. And also, I want to say thank you to all of the faculty and staff. I thank God so much for when I come back to see teachers still teaching, still faithful, serving the Lord. And your example, your life means so much. And I know you have great rewards in heaven. Thank you for what you do. We're blessed because of you. I would like you to turn to Hebrews 11 and then hold your place there. And then turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Maybe you could put something in Hebrews 11, and then 2 Chronicles 18, we'll read a verse there and go to Hebrews 11. Second Chronicles chapter 18, and let's read together verse number 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse number 3. And let's read together. Ready? Begin. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time set aside for the preaching of your word. Thank you for giving us your word to preach. Thank you for these students and staff, Lord, for their heart to love you and serve you. Lord, you know my heart. It's to be a blessing to them, to help them, and I pray that you'd use this message in that way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in 2 Chronicles 18, you have King Jehoshaphat, a godly king, the king of Judah. He had a heart for the Lord. Jehoshaphat had even removed places of idolatry out of Judah. He had organized and sent Levites throughout city to city in Judah to preach and teach the law of God. And this good king is asked by King Ahab, will you go with me to battle? And every time I read this verse, I'm so puzzled by the answer of King Jehoshaphat. He says, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. And as I read that verse, I want to say, King Jehoshaphat, no, you're not. No, you're not like King Ahab. You see, Ahab and Israel, they were worshipers of Baal. They worshiped other false gods. Ahab had sold himself to do great evil before the Lord. They had turned their back on Jehovah God. Jehoshaphat was nothing like King Ahab. And I want to say to Jehoshaphat, remember your true identity. Remember your true identity. I'd like you to turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read together verse 24 through 25. Hebrews 11, 24 through 25. Ready? Begin. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Most of you know Moses was raised from his childhood by the daughter of Pharaoh. He lived in the palace in Egypt. He could have had great fame. He could have had great wealth and great power and authority. He could have indulged in all the pleasures of sin that Egypt had to offer. However, when Moses grew up, the Bible says he made a decision. He said, I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am not an Egyptian. I am an Israelite. I am one of God's chosen people. That's who I am. That's my identity. Today, many are confused about their identity, who they truly are. There's a transgender movement sweeping across our country, and it is supported by our current president. And some of the statements they make is, I think I was born in the wrong body. There are not just men and women. There are many identities and expressions. You can do what you want. We can be whoever we want to be. Be who you are. And they talk about their true identity. They talk about coming out or being their authentic self. And many people today are very confused and very deceived about what they are. It's very sad, very troubling, very destructive, this ideology. But I see many struggling with knowing who they are. What is their true identity? Even many believers today are confused about their identity. When I was in Bible college here, I had a bus route in Cicero, Illinois, 80-11. And I had a bus worker. And just a few years ago, I was back in the States and I went out to breakfast with him. And sadly, my former bus worker no longer believes in God. Some people I went to college with here publicly speak against and ridicule fundamental independent Baptist churches, praising the charismatics. Some are speaking in tongues. Many have turned away from the standards and convictions that they once held to. So many people are changing. And some leaders in fundamental Baptist churches have fallen, and I think many now are asking, who am I? I see many in my generation joining non-denominational churches, changing the Bible that they use, changing their music, changing the convictions they once held to. They've lost their passion for soul winning. They're wondering, what is their true identity? But I want to say to you this morning, we as children of the kings need to understand our true identity. We ought to live according to who God says we are and not according to the dictates of the world around us. Live by your true identity. My message today is titled, Live by Your True Identity. Today I want to give you four words that help to describe our identity as believers in Jesus Christ. These words ought to shape the way that we live our lives. Number one, I am a saint. I am a saint. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. What is a saint? A saint is a holy one. And when we believe on Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The Holy Spirit births in us the divine nature, and we are set apart as the holy ones of God. We are saints. This is our identity. We will one day be totally free from this body of sin and corruption and death. Praise God. However, even while we live in this body of flesh, battling the old man, God calls us His saints, His holy ones. I love what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Live by your true identity. If you're saved this morning, you are a saint. You are a holy one. This is our identity. This is who we are. We ought to strive to live a life that shows to others that we are the saints of God. We are different from the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." God's people, as saints, God says that fornication and any form of immorality, it's not fitting, it's not suitable for His saints. He's called us to be holy as He is holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "You are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." We are children of light. Philippians 2:15 says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are the children of light. Yes, we are not sinless, but we are sinners saved by grace. We are saints of God. We are His holy ones. We are called to let our light shine in a dark world. Live by your true identity. We are saints. Number two, I am a stranger. I'm a stranger. In Hebrews 11, we have what we call the hall of faith. Men and women who live by faith. The Bible says in verse 13 that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These heroes of faith, they had a confession, and they confessed that they were strangers. They were foreigners. They were outsiders, living in a land that wasn't their true country. A story is told about an American tourist who visited the 19th century rabbi Hofetz Chaim. And when he visited him, he was astonished. When he entered his home, it was a simple room filled with books, a table, and a bench. And the tourist asked the rabbi, he said, "Where is your furniture?" And the rabbi replied, "Where is yours?" And the tourist said, "Mine." He said, "I'm just a visitor here." And the rabbi replied, "So am I." You see, we're strangers. The songwriter said, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Remember, this world is not our home. Don't get too attached to the things of this world. We are strangers and pilgrims just passing through. Recently, I helped my brother-in-law in Highland, and he cleans out houses so that they can be fixed up and resold. And he asked for help on this house. It's a very big project. This house, I've never seen anything like it in my life. The garage was packed with stuff. You couldn't even get in the door. When we first got there, they had to spend a lot of time removing things. The kitchen was packed with stuff. The dining room, the living room, the bedrooms, the hallways, the closets, the basement, everything was packed to the hilt with stuff. We filled 8 dumpsters at that house with stuff. Why? So many times people get attached to things. The things of this earth are so temporal. Don't get too focused on earthly possessions. Remember who you are. We are strangers and pilgrims, just a passing through. Live by your true identity. You are a stranger. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." The challenge that you and I face today is that we must live in this world, but we are not to be of the world. This world is filled with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And many today are living for these things. They live to please the flesh, but that's not who we are. We are strangers and pilgrims. We must remember that we are citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. We must abstain from fleshly lusts and separate from those things that would hinder us from living as God's chosen people. Live by your true identity. We are strangers in this world. I love America. I pray for America. Today, I hope that many of you are involved in the program of fasting and praying, as many are, for the upcoming election. And over the next 2 weeks, I hope you will pray fervently for America. America is the land of my birth. I also love Ghana, the land where I live. But I'm a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. And as strangers, we are not to lay up treasures on this earth, but we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, for that is our true home and citizenship. Our time on earth is so short. It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it is gone. And while you live on this earth, don't forget your true identity. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. What is our true identity? We see that, number one, we are saints. Number two, we are strangers. And number three, we are servants. I'm a servant. Ephesians 6:6 says, "As the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Let me say to you this morning, God has saved you for a purpose. God has saved you to serve Him. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It is a reasonable expectation for the children of God to serve Him. May I remind you this morning that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You have a Lord and Master. And as Christians, our identity is wrapped up in serving our Lord and doing His will. Truly, everything we are and everything we have been given to us is from God. We are simply servants and stewards of what He has entrusted to us. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." One day, we will stand before the Lord and give an account for what we did with our lives. Every one of us will give account of himself to God. When you stand before God at the judgment seat, what will you hear? Will it be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will it be, I have no rewards for you. You are slothful and you are unfaithful. Who are we? We are servants of God. We have been saved for a purpose. We are saved to serve our Lord. And let's get busy serving our Lord and Master. Live by your true identity. Be a servant for your Lord. What is our true identity this morning? We are saints. We are strangers. We are servants. And number four, I am a soldier. I am a soldier. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If you're a child of God this morning, you are a soldier. You have a mission to accomplish, and soldiers must be focused on their mission. We must not get entangled with the things of this life. Money attracts our attention. We need money to live. We need money to survive. But money should not be our focus. We have work. We have employments. Maybe you work at McDonald's. You work at a trucking company. Your work is necessary, but your work should not be your focus. You have family relationships. They're important, but that should not be our focus. I like sports. I like the Minnesota Vikings. And maybe you have a favorite team, but let me say to you, sports should not be your focus. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And a soldier does not live like everyone else. A soldier has a cause that he is fighting for. The Apostle Paul understood his identity and that of his co-workers as soldiers of Christ. He said in Philippians 2:25, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." He said in Philippians 1:2, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier." Paul realized who he was. And I want to challenge you this morning, live by your true identity. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have a mission to accomplish for our commander. I'm afraid as I look around today, I see so many Christians that can be likened to the thorny ground that Jesus described in the parable of the sower and the seed. Christians who have believed on Christ, but they're choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And because of this, they are unfruitful. We are soldiers of Christ. In Ephesians 6, God tells us that he has an armor and he has weapons for us to use in our spiritual battles. Why does God tell us this? Why has he provided an armor? It's because we are soldiers in a battle. This is not a game. We are in a battle for the souls of men. And as you live your life, don't lose your identity. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. I'd like to ask my wife and the other singers to come up. I shared with my wife a while back the idea for this sermon, and God gave her a song to go with the message. And they're going to sing at this time, but I want you to pay attention to the words. And I hope it will be encouragement to you and also a challenge to live by your true identity, who you really are. This time we'll hear the song.
In a world that promotes identity, trying to belong, but can't find the peace they need. I thank you for the day you came to set me free. I know who I am and what I'm meant to be.
I'm a soldier, I'm a stranger, an ambassador for the King of Kings. I'm a witness for the highest and a servant of the one who owns all things. A child of my Father.
About who they are, searching for truth, but not getting very far. Blinded by lies, they can't recognize the one that they need, the Christ of Calvary.
I'm a soldier, I'm a stranger.
For just a minute, just about finished here, but I want to ask, how about you this morning? Are you living by your true identity? Are you living as a saint? Is your lifestyle holy? Are you living as a holy one of God? Are you living as a stranger? Are you living for eternity and not for the things of this life? Remember, you're just passing through. Are you living as a servant? Have you surrendered your life to your Lord and Master? And are you doing His will? And are you living as a soldier? Are you engaging in battle as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? The invitation this morning is live by your true identity. We're going to have a quick invitation. They're going to sing again. If God spoke to your heart and you're making a decision, you come to the altar. The altar's open.